ॐ न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरी कवितां वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवताद् भक्ति अहीतुकि त्वयि ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ओ लॉर्ड एंड सोल ऑफ द यूनिवर्स माइन इज नो प्रेयर फॉर वेल्थ और रेटिन्यू द प्लेथिंग्स ऑफ लस्ट और द टॉयज ऑफ फेम एज मेनी टाइम्स एज आई मे बी रिबॉर्न ग्रांट मी ओ लॉर्ड ए स्टेडफास्ट लव फॉर दी पीस पीस पीस
भक्ति एफोरिज्म्स ऑफ नारद. Last time we discussed renunciation and devotion. When devotion dawns in the heart of the devotee, he does not take any special effort to renounce the world. When his mind moves toward God, the world stays far, far away from him. So a devotee does not have to struggle to renounce anything in this world. So Narada says the path of devotion is very simple and easy. If you go or follow the path of knowledge, renunciation is one of the primary spiritual disciplines. Adau nitta nitta vastu viveka. First you will have to discriminate what is real, what is unreal. Second, iha mutra phalabhoga viraga. You will have to deny worldly as well as celestial enjoyments. It is one of the item of disciplines in the path of knowledge. Renunciation, non-attachment. Narada says the path of devotion does not need any kind of spiritual discipline in that way. If you have intense love for God, that will take away the world from your mind and you will go straight to God. Narada described ananya bhakti. Sri Ramakrishna, ananya bhakti means one-pointed love, one-pointed devotion. Sri Ramakrishna described that ananya bhakti through the chatuk bird. The chatuk bird only drinks the water from the rain. So the chatuk bird is always looking to the sky, that when that rain will come and I shall drink. The world is full of water, various kinds of water, ocean water, lake water, sea water, pond water, canal, river, so many waters in this world. But the chatuk bird won't touch that water. It shows that this chatuk bird has one-pointed love devotion to the cloud, to the rain. Sri Ramakrishna cited that example regarding ananya bhakti, one-pointed love. Aphorism number 10. Anya ashrayanam tyagaha ananyata. Whole-souled devotion means giving up every other refuge and taking refuge in God. The devotee only enjoys the company of God. He only loves to talk about God, hears about God. He does not care for anything else in this world. Ananya bhakti, one-pointed love, one-pointed devotion. Sri Ramakrishna gave another example. Worldly people are like flies. They sit sometimes on the flowers, sometimes on the fields, sometimes on the garbage can. But the devotees of God are like bees. They only sit on the honey, on the flowers and suck honey. They don't sit on the garbage can or any other places. So the devotees love to suck the bliss of God. Ananya anya ashrayanam tyaga. Ashraya means refuge. You see, we love to take refuge in home or the head of the family or on the boss or somebody else whom we, you see, people, human beings by nature feel insecure. So they want security. So they try to hold some person or place or something so that they can stay. I remember when I was a young monk, a monk told me that you see, you have ignorance, so you have joined the Ramakrishna order. If you had no ignorance, perhaps you would be illumined. You don't care for Ramakrishna order. It really, you need some kind of refuge, security, support of a place. What he meant that you would go to the Himalayas and would be like a wandering monk. You would not come to the Ramakrishna order. It proves that you don't have that type of dependence on God. You see, our monastic ideal, our conception of monasticism is different. I am talking about in compared to traditional monasticism. Traditional monasticism, the sky is the roof, the ground is the bed, this hand is the pillow, and this is the plate. Whatever Lord will provide, eat. That is the traditional idea of monasticism, very hard. You can't carry anything, only complete dependence on God. So, but our conception, Swami Vivekananda opened a new path for us, that you know, you can live in the society, at the same time you can lead monastic life. That is a new way Swamiji started this organization. Anyhow, Krishna says in the Gita, Gotir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi, listen Arjuna. People are seeking refuge from here and there. They do not know who is the real person where you can get 100% security. I am the goal and the support, the Lord and the witness, the abode, the refuge and the friend. The great-souled men endowed with the divine nature worship me with undisturbed minds, knowing that I am immutable and the origin of all beings. God is my only refuge, says the devotee. Swami Vivekananda had a disciple named Sadananda. I think he died in 1911. He was the first disciple of Swamiji. Sadananda was at deathbed. Two young boys used to nurse him. His place was just near to Sister Nivedita's school in North Calcutta. Holy Mother came to see him. He said, Mother, I started my life touching your feet, and now I am at deathbed. I shall pass away very soon. Could you touch your feet again on my head so that I can finish my journey? Holy Mother touched her feet on the head of Sadananda. One day he watched those two young boys who were serving him and sensed, read their minds. Well, Swami is now invalid and, you know, he had to depend on us. This Swami Sadananda did all types of plague relief work in Calcutta with Sister Nivedita. Sadananda looked at them and said, Don't be proud that you are serving me. If you put me on the sidewalk, Swamiji will come and serve me. When he needed any kind of Kleenex paper, he had nothing in his room. So he said to his attendant, tear the pages of Swamiji's works, Swamiji's complete works, and let me use it as Kleenex. Don't give other books, then the goddess of learning will be furious to me, but Swamiji will not be furious. He had so much love and devotion for Swamiji. He did not know anything other than Swamiji, who was his guru. One day Swamiji asked him, Gupta, if you get a better guru than me, will you leave me? Of course, sir. But I know I shall never get a guru like you. One-pointed love. This is the example of one-pointed devotion to the ideal. Turiyananda was in Boston. A rich woman told him that if you do not follow my advice, I shall stop your support. I shall not support your work. Turiyananda ji said, Madam, you threw me on the street. Let me see whether Lord takes care of me or not. These are all examples of dependence on God. You see, they depended on God so much, and they have conviction that the Lord will never desert them. I told you the story of Raghunath, who was a disciple of Chaitanya, who was coming from a very rich home. His father was a prime minister of a Mohammedan king. When he ran away from home and went to Puri with a view to desiring to stay with Chaitanya, his father sent some money and cook and servant for his son. Son became monk, but the parents are so attached to their only son, they sent money, cook, servants for him. Chaitanya did not say anything to Raghunath. He just took the offer and was leading a monastic life. But Chaitanya was not very kind to him. He was thinking, what wrong did I do to him that he is not very kind to me? Chaitanya talked to his other disciples and said, look, he has come to become a monk with money, with servant, with cook, and he wants to be a monk. He heard it. He asked the cook, servants to go away and stopped taking money from his parents. Then he will have to survive. How will he survive? He started to sit in front of Shingodwara, the main gate of Jagannath temple. Only a couple of hours he used to sit in front of the gate, of the steps, near the steps of that main temple. Sometimes, people would offer, give a coin. Generally, you will find in Indian temples in front sometimes beggars. They throw a coin or a fruit or something like that. They used to throw away. And he used to pick all those things and would come to his place and cook a little rice, a little vegetable. That is the way he was surviving. Again, Chaitanya made a comment. Chaitanya was not kind to him. Again, he made a comment. He has come to become a monk and he sits in front of the temple and he always looks at the people that who will give him a penny or a fruit or a something like that to eat. He has come to become a monk. He heard it, stopped going to the front of the temple. He would never go there. And he will have to survive. What will he eat? first few days you start, then there is a market in just not inside the temple compound of Puri, where they sell cooked food. But you get dry rice from that market, it is sold. Now they offer food to Jagannath several times a day, and that food is sold in the market. Without cooking, all through your life, you can eat food in Puri if you have money. So at night time, they clean that food market. You know, rice, dal, all are scattered. So with a hose, they clean it, and there is a drain. And all this food, you know, go through that drain. At midnight, when the food market was clean, he used to pick that food from the drain. And again, he would bring to his place and wash it. 5-6 times he used to wash. Jagannath's prasad is equivalent to, they call it Daru Brahma, which is very auspicious. If you eat that, you will get devotion. So he picked that food and washed several times. And at that time, only white rice was there. That he used to eat without salt, once a day. That is the way he was surviving. One day, Chaitanya came at midnight and knocked at his door when he was about to eat that food. I have come to your place. I am hungry. Feed me. Immediately he placed that plate in front of Chaitanya. He took a little and remaining he asked him to eat. He ate it. He tasted just like divine nectar. That is the way Chaitanya trained his disciples. He taught them how to depend on God. Because the moment you depend on the rich people or money or wealth or this and that, that proportion of devotion will go away from you. You see, it is not easy to surrender 100% to God. Narada will tell us what we will have to do until and unless we attain that supreme devotion. He never asked us to give up. Let us go through this. Aphorisms. Next aphorism, 11. Loke vedeshu tad anukulacharanam tad virodhishu udasinata. Indifference to factors hostile to devotion means performance of such secular and sacred activities as are favorable to devotion. Narada says, don't give up your action. Do what you are doing now. This action, perform those actions which will help you to increase devotion. This action may be sacred or secular. Sacred action is like worship in the temple or making garland for the Lord, pick flowers from the garden for the Lord, cooking for the Lord. All these are all sacred activities which are directly connected with God. When you make a garland for your beloved or for bride or bridegroom, that is not sacred, it is secular. But if you make that garland for the Lord, it is sacred. Then what is sacred activity, secular activities? For example, relief work, educational activities, hospital work. These are all secular activities. these secular activities and sacred activities. Narada says, don't give up. Only do, perform these activities in the spirit of worship that we are taught. Work and worship in the beginning of spiritual life, practice both. Meditate, pray, repeat your mantra. At the same time, do your household activities as you are doing. Work and worship. Then work as worship. When we try to do any kind of relief work, educational work, hospital work, we try to maintain that spirit of worship, that I am serving the Lord, as Mother Teresa of Calcutta is doing. She is nursing the living Jesus. That is her philosophy. You see, that is the philosophy of Swami Vivekananda. May I be born again and again, suffer thousands of miseries, so that can I worship that God, the living God, my God, the downtrodden, the fallen, the wicked, the sufferer, my God, the sick. In this way, Swamiji deified all beings as Godhead. That is Vivekananda's main philosophy. Now, you see, it depends upon what is your spirit behind the work. You can work, you can do your work as a duty. You can do it out for ego, that, oh, I shall get power, position. You can do it as worship. It depends upon the attitude of the devotee. According to Vedanta, there are four types of work. First, nitya karma, daily obligatory duties. For example, sandhya vandana, morning and evening japa and meditation, nitya karma. Then, naimittika karma, incidental activities. For example, on a festival day, you did some extra disciplines, spiritual disciplines or prayer, or some kind of extra activities you did, you know, on a particular occasion according to need. Nitya naimittika. Then, kamya karma. Kamya karma means you perform some action with a desire. And nishiddha karma, forbidden work. So murdering, killing, these are all forbidden work. You are not supposed to do that. It is against the scripture. Narada says that a devotee is not supposed to perform any kind of kamya karma and nishiddha karma. Nishiddha means forbidden work, killing, murdering. Or kamya karma means action with a desire. Because devotee's desire is only for God. His desire is not for the worldly prosperity. A devotee is not supposed to be idle. He must put his mind to God in various ways. So through worship, through study, through japam, through meditation. Bhavina labhati sarvam. Maintain an undercurrent inside you, inside. You may do all types of activities in the center or at home, but maintain your spiritual current inside. Lishwami, how can we do that? Sri Ramakrishna gave a beautiful example. If you have toothache, and if you cook in the kitchen, your whole mind is on that ache. But your hands work, you are doing everything in the kitchen without any difficulty. But your entire mind is on the toothache or stomachache. Sri Ramakrishna gave this example. Same thing, one can put his mind to God and at the same time can perform these secular and sacred activities in the world. Bhavena labhate sarvam through bhava. through devotion, through love, one can attain everything. Bhavena deva darshanam, bhava, through mood, through devotion, through one can see God. So, always try to maintain this bhava, emotion, love, devotion for God. Then there are many examples we find in the scripture that these people put their minds on God, disobeying others. For example, Prahlada, we read in the Bhagavatam, he denied his father's authority. He wanted to love Krishna. His father tried to kill him, but he couldn't. So he disobeyed his father. Secondly, Vibhishana, Ravana's brother. As we find in the Ramayana, he gave up the side of Ravana and took the side of Rama and fought against his brother. Third, Bharata, the second brother of Rama, refused his mother's order, who requested him to be the king of Ayodhya. He disobeyed his mother. Then Bali, the son of Prahlada, which he disobeyed his guru, because guru told him something opposite. Then the gopis, they disobeyed their husbands because they wanted to love Krishna. Narada, the commentator, gave all these examples that those who become obstacles to the path of God, refuse them, deny them. It is not objectionable. You see, they quoted the scriptures. When they want to establish any kind of argument, they like to quote the scriptures. Look, these are the persons became famous. Denying the people who made obstructions to their spiritual life. Udashinata. Sometimes try to be indifferent. Not that every time you will have to fight those who are creating obstruction to you. Simply be indifferent. Bhavanath, a householder disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, asked the master, "Master, if there is any difference of opinion among two people, what one should do?" Sri Ramakrishna said, "One should reconcile with his friend." I tried to reconcile with my friend, but still, he still, maintains some kind of ill feeling against me. What shall I do? But I don't think about that friend anymore. Put your mind to God. Are you going to think of your friend all the time in that way? Don't do that. The mind is meant to think of God, to meditate on God. If you cannot, get approval or, if you cannot satisfy others, will you have to think all the time that, I could not satisfy friends? It is not necessary. Next aphorism, Bhavatu Nishchayo Daidhyat Urdham Shastra Rakshanam. Scriptures are to be followed as long as one's spiritual life is not firmly established in God. Scriptural injunctions, teachings of the scriptures are to be followed. Vedanta says, Guru Vedanta Vakyeshu Shraddha. Shraddha means faith in Guru. Faith in the scriptures are necessary. Until and unless you attain the higher state of devotion, from where you will never fall. We read in the Gita, Krishna says, "He who flouts the commandments of the scriptures and acts on the impulse of his desires cannot reach perfection or happiness or the highest goal. Let the scriptures be your guide. Therefore, in deciding what you must do, and what you must abstain from. First, learn the path of action as the scriptures teach it. Then act accordingly. Now, the scriptures are like loving mother. As mother guides her children, immature children, so that they may not go astray, so the scriptures guide the spiritual seekers so that they may not go to the wrong track. We read in the Old Testament 10 commandments, in the New Testament 9 beatitudes and other commandments of Christ. We read the Gita and Quran, where we find Muhammad prescribed 5 times of prayer a day. These are all injunctions of the scripture. If you follow them, you will reach the goal. You see, we find in Gandhi's life, he practiced only 2 things in his whole life. Not necessarily you will have to follow all the teachings of the scripture, which is impossible. The scripture is all teachings are not meant for you or meant for me. Gandhi practiced only 2, truthfulness and nonviolence. And these 2 disciplines made him world famous. He did not practice many, only 2. He never deviated from the truth. And he never harbored any violence against anybody. In South Africa, a Mohammedan betrayed him and hit on his head with an iron rod, and Gandhi fell on the street and was unconscious. And while he was fell down, Lord forgive him, Gandhi was taken to the hospital. When he regained consciousness, he asked the police not to arrest him, not to do any action against that Mohammedan who was about to kill him. Practice non-violence. I did not do any harm to anybody. Why should others will do harm to me? Same thing, truthfulness. When he was criticizing the British policy, you know, they promised something, later on they did not keep their promise. But Gandhi never did that. He never deviated from the truth. And that made him fearless. You know, if you practice truth, you will be completely fearless. So, these scriptural injunctions are very helpful to build the spiritual life, character. I remember one of our Swamis told us, look, we have arranged this 2 years training for the novitiates, for the brahmacharis in Belur Math. It is not sufficient, we know. But you boys are coming from working centers, working very hard. You don't get time to study the scriptures and Ramakrishna Vivekananda literature. So we try to bring you here from that heavy working schedule, just to give you a taste of the scripture. Please utilize these 2 hours wholeheartedly. Listen, all people, that old sadhu told me, I remember, most of the people cannot stay in the high spiritual realm all the time. There are 3 planes, physical plane, intellectual plane, and spiritual plane. If you cannot stay in the spiritual plane, don't go to the physical level. At least try to maintain some kind of intellectual habit. So that, you know, if mind comes from the spiritual, it will stay at least in the intellectual plane. It will not go to the bottom level. He told us some very pragmatic advice that maintain this spiritual life as much as you can and read the scriptures. It will protect you Swamiji, I read in a book, sometimes, you know, he wanted to know what is, you know, he wanted to know some, wanted to get some decisions of some of his problems. He would open the Bible at random and or Gita at random or the Gospel at random and to find out what they say about that problem. Sri Ramakrishna mentioned scriptures are not the main thing in spiritual life, scriptural study. He told that through that parable of letter, that from countryside a man received a letter from his wife and he lost that letter. It was, and he was trying to find out that letter. At last he found out it was misplaced. It was written that bring one pair of cloth, some sweets and such, three things. He read that letter immediately. He took note that these are the three things he would have to purchase, and then he threw away that letter. And he bought all those things and left for Rome. Sri Ramakrishna said that in spiritual life, try to know what you will have to do from the scripture and from your guru. Then do it. Then the scriptures are not necessary. Scriptures later on become a bhashan. Do you know what is bhashan? Lakshari. Some people, scripture becomes their lakshari. They love to quote the scripture. It is some kind of intellectual pastime, exercise. The scriptures, Vedanta scriptures, there is very clear in this respect. I shall read you 2-3 verses from the Amrita Bindu Upanishad. The Om as word is first looked upon as the Supreme Brahman. After that word idea has vanished, that imperishable Brahman remains. The wise one should meditate on that imperishable Brahman if he desires the peace of his soul. Two kinds of vidya, knowledge, ought to be known, the word Brahman and the Supreme Brahman. One having mastered the word Brahman attains to the highest Brahman. After studying the Vedas, the intelligent one who is solely intent on acquiring knowledge and realization should discard the Vedas altogether, as the man who seeks to obtain rice discards the husk. Of cows which are of diverse colors, the milk is of the same color. The intelligent one regards knowledge, jnana, knowledge as the milk, and the many-branched Vedas as the cows. Like the butter hidden in milk, the pure consciousness resides in every being that ought to be constantly churned out by the churning rod of the mind. This is pure Vedanta. Vedanta says, even these scriptures are lower knowledge. What is the higher knowledge? Jaya tad aksharam adhigamyate, through which one can face or realizes truth directly. That is higher knowledge, experience. Lokanuvartanam taktva taktva dehanuvartanam Shastra-anuvartanam taktva svadhyasapanayanam kuru. Shunning the social niceties, lokanuvartak, shunning the trimming the body, shunning the pastime of the scripture, de-superimpose yourself, de-hypnotize yourself. That is a great teaching of Shankara in the Viveka Chudamani, Crest Jewel of Discrimination. Dehypnotize yourself. You are hypnotized by Maya. You have body consciousness. You are trying to get knowledge through the scriptures. You are busy with social activities. Those are all external. Try to dehypnotize yourself. Try to remove your own ignorance. That is Shankara. Sri Ramakrishna explained to us or taught us how to attain this supreme bhakti. One day he was invited by a devotee. It was evening and he was hungry. And he was supposed to go to a theater after supper. So it was evening, just dusk. At the time of dusk, he was shaking his hand. Oh, it is evening. One should pray to God, meditate on God. One should not eat anything right now. Let me see whether the hair could be seen or not. You see, if the hair of your body cannot be seen, then you will have to remember that this is the real evening. So he was shaking the hair of his body. Then he said to that devotee, do not misuse this evening time, which is very favorable for spiritual discipline. And he started to think of God. You see, in this way he taught his disciples. He did himself first, and then he said, do this, it is good. You see, our some Swamis in India, they are very traditional, old school. They are trained by the direct disciples. If any Brahmacharyan monk reads newspaper in the evening, he will be scolded right and left. After, you know, sometime you please read, but don't read newspaper or any, don't think anything about the world in the evening. In India, you know, they have some social customs. Sometimes I tell you all these things just to give you some ideas how do they maintain their spiritual heritage. In the evening, you will find even a sick person will sit in his bed because they know it is inauspicious to lie down in bed in the evening. Or if they won't eat in the evening, just with that in the junction between day and night, they won't eat anything. Because I remember in our mother used to say that if you eat that time, you will be an ogress. So you are not supposed to touch any food. That time is earmarked only for spiritual discipline. Pray to God, then eat. Ishtonishtha. Dadhyat. Until and unless you have that strong faith, strong devotion for God, don't give up. Ishtonishtha means unflinching love for the chosen ideal. You can feel it. Sometimes it is a matter of habit. Those who are very regular to the temple in the, about their spiritual discipline, one day if you do not practice meditation, you perhaps you are busy in a party, you will find your conscience will bite you. Oof. This is my meditation time. What am I doing here? Shh. Sometimes you will find your inner being, you know, is agitated. You know, you don't feel good. You don't feel comfortable. You are doing, but you are not comfortable. That means you attain a little devotion for God. Because you are feeling that emptiness. Oh, this is my time for meditation. And what am I doing here? Next aphorism, 13. Anyatha patityo ashankaya, or else there is a risk of falling. If you are not regular about your disciplines, if you are not regular about studying the scriptures, or following the teachings of the scriptures, until and unless you attain that supreme love and supreme devotion, Narada says there is a chance of falling. You may fall. What Narada wants to say, here is a ladder set with the roof of your house. Your goal is the roof. Until and unless you reach the roof, don't dance on the ladder, you will fall. That is the intention of Narada. You know, some people think, well, I crossed several steps. Now I touched the roof. And you are in a very high state, you know, and there you started. Oh, let me dance, you know, hey, hi, look how I am just near the roof. I am almost high. You fell. You fall. So don't be astonished to seeing that, you know, somebody has fallen from higher level because that person forgot. That forgetfulness came even only for a minute, you are gone. So the Upanishad says that you are walking on the sharp edge of a razor. It is a razor's edge. Your one mistake means you are gone. You see, these teachers of Vedanta, they are very careful about their spiritual life. Very careful. Sometimes they live together. One protects other, the other protects other. Until and unless they attain supreme devotion. Then you go as you like. After attaining devotion, bhakti, God, there is no chance of falling. Even the jnanis are caught by maya, says Chonji. So, sharanagato he pode thako. Sri Ramakrishna used to say again and again, be humble and take refuge in God. Swami Turiyananda used to quote from Pauhari Baba, Gauka mafik guru ka dwar me goka mafik pada raho. Or some people say, kutta ka mafik pada raho. Mani, stay at the gate of your guru like a faithful dog. Don't give up. The guru may not feed you right now, but he will give you food one day if you stay at his gate. Because he knows that you are waiting there. He will watch, he will test you, be hungry, let me see how much hungry you are. The more you will be hungry, the more he will feed you. Hari Maharaj used to say, Guru ka dharme kutte ka mafik pada raho. Stay at the gate of your guru like a faithful dog. You will be fed. Nobody can forecast about spiritual life, that who will make it, who will not make it. Maharaj said sometime, one day said, I watch the boys, means monks in the monastery. I see sometimes, apparently they are hopeless. They have no hope. I see they make tremendous progress. And some I see very good. They don't make progress at all. How can I judge? It is very difficult to judge people in spiritual life. I have seen hopeless people, they are making tremendous progress, and so-called good people, they are not progressing at all. Annatha patitto ashankaya. If you are not regular about your disciplines, your character will not be formed. If a high soul or a guru give you some experience, you won't be able to hold it. Because your character was not built. You do not know how to maintain that high pitch, it will go away. Suppose a young boy, he does not know about money. All of a sudden you give him $1 million, or a hopeless person, a drunkard or a or a gambler, you give him $1 million, he will go to a place and will spend all $1 million in one night through gambling, because he does not know how to hold the money, how to digest power. Same thing in spiritual life. With regular disciplines form the character. Next aphorism, 14. Lokopi tavadeva bhojanadi vyaparah tu ashariro dharana vidhi. Social customs and practices need only be followed until one's love for God grows intense. But acts such as eating, drinking, etc., which are necessary for the preservation of the body, must not be given up. Narada says, until and unless you attain that supreme devotion, don't give up laukik karma, means social activities, household activities, duty to your family, dohik karma, the physical activities, eating, drinking, sleeping. Don't give up these karmas. This karma will automatically be, you know, social karma, all these commitments, will duties automatically will go away from you when you will get devotion. When you will be married, then you will sit only near Christ. All those busy activities will go away from you. Narada said that. He says that don't give up your work. Don't be idle, don't be lazy. Give food to your body, think that I am feeding the Lord. Divert all your activities. Spiritualize them, divert them toward God, spiritualize them. Holy Mother said, adjust according to time, according to place, according to person, according to situation. In this way, maintain your spiritual life. Sri Ramakrishna gave a beautiful example. When a clerk is arrested and is sent to jail for some kind of bribery or some kind of things, you know, he was arrested. And after coming back from jail, what does he do? Does he dance? He tries to get another job like a clerical, he tries to get another clerical job, which he knew. So same thing, after realizing God, after attaining devotion, perform your regular activities, what you are doing now. The whole world will change. Brahman is the ritual. Brahman is the offering. Brahman is he who offers to the fire that is Brahman. If a man sees Brahman in every action, he will find Brahman. So, Narada says, until and unless you attain supreme love for God, follow the teachings of the scriptures and the Guru, follow your social activities, physical activities, and try to increase intense love for God, otherwise there is a chance of falling in the journey. All right, any more? If you have any questions. Yes, karma yoga's renunciation is phalottag, renunciation of the result of action. That is karma yoga. I shall work, but the result will go to God. That is karma yoga. Karma yoga, there are two types of renunciation in karma yoga. One is renunciation of action, the sannyasins, that is the path of monks. Actually, we took vows that henceforth we shall not do any kind of action. Action is kamya karma, work with desire. We shall not perform any work which will help us to fulfill our desires. And second type of karma is, second type of renunciation is, renounce the desire for the result of action. I do not want any result, Lord. I do as a worship. In Raja Yoga also, renunciation is necessary. Abhyaso vairagya bhamtan nirodha. If you want to stop the waves of your mind, practice and renounce. So only bhakti yoga, without formal renunciation, renunciation will come automatically. Without formal renunciation, one can attain God. Because the world will gradually disappear from him. You will not have to do any special discipline. So the path of bhakti, path of devotion is easy, says Narada.
Om asato ma satkamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrittor ma amritam gamaya, abhiravinma yedhi, rudra jatya dakshinambukam, tenamam pahi nityam, om shanti 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 him. Lead us from the unreal to the real, lead us from darkness to light, lead us from death to immortality, light us through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace.